morning.
Hey, how are you? Is that Elaine?
Yes, this is Elaine. I'm fine. I've just been watching it snow. How are you?
You're watching it snow? Oh, my gosh.
This is just unreal. We can't believe it.
I guess not. My goodness. Now, where are you, Elaine?
Kansas.
You're in Kansas. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I know.
Go ahead.
My other phone is ringing.
Has arrived. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeannie.
How are you?
Delightful.
Delightful. Are you getting snow, too?
Did a little few flurries yesterday, but sunshine today.
Oh.
Monty.
Has arrived.
Morning, Monty.
And Elaine was just saying that she's watching it snow. I went, really?
Sean, Joanne.
Has arrived. Good morning. I heard Monty and then Char and Joanne.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Good
morning, Jeannie. Good morning. Sounds like the weather's wild everywhere.
Oh, it's beautiful here.
Are you having good weather?
55 degrees and I just finished my walk before the call. That was good.
Oh, good. Then we went, did a little hiking yesterday morning. It was fun. I haven't been this year, so it was
nice. Says they're supposed to be up to 81. That'll be, I think, a high so far, I think.
Mm. That's a nice high.
That is.
Good deal.
Eddie
has arrived. Elaine said she was watching it snow out her window, so. That was pretty wild. And so in Kansas. So everybody doing okay this morning? So far. Having a great morning so far. Everybody got up this morning. That's good.
We woke up. That's what's good about it. Yeah.
We woke up. Yep. That's a good place to start. You had your KVB yet?
I'm just mixing it up. And out the door and turn Denny's
good.
Up.
Good. Well, I picked up Cook this morning. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask Char how the greenhouse came out. I never heard if Denny got it completed.
It is. It's completed. It's got all kinds of stuff growing in it. Planning, thinking maybe they would come up faster and quicker, faster than the ones outside because of keeping a more even temperature. So we'll see. In fact, our new roommate was out there planting like crazy yesterday. She loves to garden. I mean, I won't probably even do a stitch of it if she keeps up the way she's going. So yeah, we're excited about it. Earliest we've ever had a crop in the ground. So now if it happens to hit a freeze outside, which are hard frost or something, we've got plenty of time to plant it. I don't usually get.
Has arrived. Good. Heard somebody else come in and join us. Funny. Well, I was reading this morning. I looked at the Plan D, the amazing anti-diet that will change your life forever. This is Dee McCaffrey. She's a chemist, organic chemist and diet counselor. And anyway, from time to time, she has a really hefty book. She's got a lot of information in here, but she has a chapter on living processed free. And I turned to the organic section where she's eating organic on a budget. Ricky had said to me, he goes, every time I buy organic food, it goes bad quickly. And so, and he commented that it was expensive. So I was reading in here and she was saying, the reason, let's see,
has arrived.
Even
has left the conference.
This book was written in the mid-2000s, I'm thinking. She lives here in Scottsdale somewhere. Anyway, but she said pesticide, even small doses of pesticides and other chemicals. She's talking about eating clean and free of chemicals. She was really concerned about that. She's converted since.
Has arrived.
And she says you'll do well to start eating more organic food as you adopt a process-free lifestyle. Even small doses of pesticides and other chemicals can cause lasting damage to human health. Pesticides have been linked to various disorders and diseases, including cancers of the reproductive, endocrine, and immune system. Pregnant women and children are especially vulnerable, as pesticides have also been linked to developmental and behavioral disabilities and impairment. Specific effects of many pesticides are unknown. Pesticide manufacturers claim their products are safe, but the studies on these products are usually done with high doses rather than testing the chronic low doses that people typically experience. Companies used to claim that DDT, the classic example of an endocrine-disrupting pesticide, was safe right up to the day it was banned. This reason alone should convince you to eat organic food. However, most of us have budgets that dictate our food choices. But eating organic is doable even on a modest budget. A common perception is that organic food is so expensive that it's out of the budget for the average family or even for the average single consumer. It's commonly perceived that the average grocery purchase of processed foods at the neighborhood supermarket using store discounts makes the processed food diet within the budget of most families. If you go along with those who accept that hypothesis, you may be surprised to learn how you can eat a mainly organic diet for about the same amount of money as a typical processed food diet. The key is to learn how to shop and what to choose in order to stay within your food budget. The benefits of eating organic foods are many. They've been proven to contain a higher percentage of nutrients, have no pesticide residue, generally taste better, and have positive benefits on the environment and the people who farm them. When you eat organically, you can rest assured that what you're eating has not been processed. In order to keep food costs within your budget, you can buy more organic foods by employing smart shopping tactics. And then she gives a few tips and resources. Of course, one is decide which food you consume the most and then prioritize. And she said, for instance, if you have the core of your diet being milk or cereal or bread or that kind of thing, like if you eat milk or yogurt or breads on a daily or regular basis, you should buy those organic. If you only eat radishes every once in a while, then you don't have to worry so much about buying those organically grown, is what she was saying here. And then, once you've decided on your core items, then try these. Buy in season, be flexible, find out if your city has a local farmer's market, a great source for in-season fresh produce, that if not certified organic, it may still be pesticide-free, since it doesn't travel far. Local food co-ops. And then be on the lookout for coupons. Many natural products have coupons right on the package to be redeemed at the checkout. Many magazines have coupons for healthy products, or visit the company website. And then keep an eye out for sales. Yep, organic products go on sale the same as anything else. This is where you can scoop up great deals. Many local natural food markets have sales on organic produce and products. The general idea here is to be flexible and stock up when something you like goes on sale. She talks about buying in bulk. A lot of people avoid the bulk foods, but you can save quite a bit there if it is a bulk thing. Something you can buy in the bulk. And then I thought this is give up your dependence on conventional supermarkets. Limiting yourself to the organic section or natural food section of your local grocer is a great way to pay too much for organic products. These days there's a ton of places to buy organic foods. Besides the supermarkets, you can find them in the health food stores, specialty stores, co-ops, gourmet delis, farmers markets, community-supported agricultural programs, convenience stores, and even vending machines. What's in a vending machine that I would buy? I don't know. But anyway, But I thought about many times, and I know, Char, you've done this too. You've talked about that, and several of you going to the Asian stores and things like that. There are other avenues where the cost is better, and probably the food maybe even a little bit better. And then there's a shop online, which I haven't done that, but you may be able to order organic foods you want online. I thought about maybe Azure or something like that, getting the bulks that way. And ease into organic. Begin the transition to eating organic with some of your favorite foods. Pick a product or two that you decide you'll really notice a difference in taste that really excites you, and try that. Then she goes into the case for organic popcorn. There's a whole other section here, which I thought was kind of interesting. Any comments, questions, thoughts about that?
Which book are you reading out of?
And this is Plan D.
Okay.
D. McCaffrey's.
Thought it sounded like her.
Yeah. I just every now and then I pick it up and I read different things in there. I had gone to, I went over to some, I had a friend staying with me, and I took her over to some other friends, and she's staying with them now. And they have been eating, I'm pretty sure they're pretty well plant-based. And when she had just gotten back from Costco, her husband said, she'll be back in just a minute if you can wait. I said, well, I got a few minutes. She came in with boxes of, she had these huge bags of organic spinach, and figs that were, they were just, and her husband's going, why did you buy so many of these packages? She goes, they were like $4 a bag. They were normally $10 a bag. So she came in with all this produce, and she was loading her fridge as we were talking, and I remembered, one of the things I remember about her, I haven't seen her in a little while, she and her husband, every week they take a big tub with a lid, and they cut up cabbage and celery and carrots and zucchini and red bell peppers and radishes and all these things, and they cut it kind of fine, and they fill up this huge tub, and they eat that throughout the week. They add stuff to it, you know, and that kind of a thing. And I was reminded that I think they have cauliflower in there, kind of cut it up kind of small. And that becomes kind of a staple at almost every meal that they add to. And I was reminded of that. I haven't done that in a long time. It's another way to throw in some raw veggies, you know, then along with your steamed veggies. And if you cut it up once a week, then it's not you're cutting up every day. Kind of a way to do that.
That's a great idea, Jeannie. I've been doing it on a really small version, so they're cutting up everything except maybe the leafy stuff that breaks down faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm thinking, I wanted to ask her again what it was, but I wrote down cabbage, broccoli, you know, they take the stems too and cut them up. Carrots, celery, radishes, kind of whatever you like, cauliflower.
The zucchini would probably work, maybe, well, cucumber's a little bit soft, but, actually, what's going through my mind, just as an idea, the things that break down faster, like maybe zucchini and cucumber, you could have them in a separate one, and maybe you'd do those every other day or every third day, and just mix two together, have a smaller container with them. I'm really trying to get into, well, I'm really much more into the raw than I've ever been. And I love putting something warm, when it's still cool here, I love putting something warm on a bed of raw veggies, including the leaves, the greens, because it's fast, it's easy, and it just tastes different than having an individual salad with it, but yet you're really still getting your salad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that I like to fix the meals, especially when they're leftover. The second day, I mean, even a heavy super, you know, that's more like a stew you can put over the vegetables in the bottom. I mean, you think of all the different cultures that do that. Mexicans have the Hispanic group as pozole, that they do that way, just automatically. All the Asian communities have it where they've got the stuff on the bottom, whether it's a hot pot soup, the things on the bottom, and then top it with all the veggies that you stir in. So almost every culture I can think of has something similar to that already in their menu that is just a regular dish. So, and I don't know, what do Americans do?
Not that, yeah.
Yeah, not as a culture, cultural, you know, a big thing culturally.
Mm-hmm.
That I can think of anyway.
Yeah. I like to do that too. I like to put, when I'm in a hurry, if I have the lettuce that's already in the tub, that's, you know, your baby greens or whatever,
uh-huh.
I'll take a handful of that and then put whatever on top of it, and just to add extra greens in.
I'm going to start a list for Denny for this morning when he leaves, because he'll be picking up this morning all the veggies I don't have, so I can get a scattering of it. So, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I was just this tub had to be at least 8 inches tall and probably 2 feet long. It fit from the front of the refrigerator to the back of the fridge with a, looked like a, you know, like a Tupperware container of some sort. Huge.
Like a shoebox type thing.
Yeah, only wider. And,
wider. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
8 inches.
And, I said, wow.
No, I said, when you said half the inches, you were saying 8 inches by?
Probably 8 inches tall. It's probably maybe that wide. Maybe 10 inches wide, it looked like. And then probably 20 inches long, whatever the front of the fridge to the back of the fridge is. She used to have a round bowl. The last time I had seen her, she had a round bowl, but that doesn't fit in the fridge very well.
Right.
So she switched to this tub, which it was huge. And it's just the two of them, you know, for the week. So they're eating. You know what I think is really interesting in my mind is when I see that and think, wow, you know, if I think, wow, I ate all that this week, that's quite a lot of cruciferous vegetables there. Is basically what's in there, which are really high in your, not only fiber and things, but all of your vitamins and minerals that are in those. And good for the digestive system. And if you can have those vegetables and then add to them.
Happy
and then I thought about the dressing, the nut dressings that Furman has would be great on there. Like when we had that broccoli salad. That we had bought in the package already.
Yes.
You know.
We had that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that salad. It's so fast. It's so easy. And I substituted another one. Oh, on that dressing. No, what was it? Got it right here. We'll take your time here. I put in, I substituted almond butter for what was in the recipe for the oil. Maybe I said that before. And then I substituted 8 dates for the agave or honey.
Oh,
so that there was no oil and there was no sugar, you know, in the form of honey syrups or any maple or syrup or any of that stuff. So it was about as clean as you could get it. As far as
great.
Has arrived. I did that. Those just go in the dressing and the put them in the magic bullet. You know, if it doesn't have to be perfectly smooth. You got chunks in the salad anyway, so if you have a little extra piece of something in the dressing that didn't get ground up totally, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have cabbage on that list too?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, did you have cabbage on that list that you were...
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And you could do green and red cabbage. You know, get the color in there, too. I made that dressing last night. I couldn't find... I didn't have any almond butter. I need to go to the grocery store. But I had taken some cashews and made cashew cream.
Uh-huh.
And so I used, instead of 1 cup of water, and I think it called for a half a cup, or a quarter cup or something of the butter, almond butter or whatever, I used that cashew milk or cream. And then I added, it needed to be a little thicker than that, so I added, the only thing I had was tahini. So I put a little tahini in there. And it turned out great, and I chopped up a little bit of garlic, minced up a garlic, and I used blended that up. It was very balsamic vinegar. This is a different dressing. This one was...
Loretta has arrived.
The Dijon date dressing, I think, is the one that was in Furman's book. Anyway, turned out good. I modified it some, and I put a few hemp seeds in there because I had some of those.
That sounds good.
I've been using more hemp, too, mainly because I got a big bag, so I'm just experimenting.
Mm-hmm. So all of those can be interchanged, and you can experiment a little bit, too, from time to time, and makes it kind of fun.
It does.
The majority of the time, it turns out really good. So experiment away. Anybody else have a comment? Question? Something on your mind?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Another thing she says in here, organic produce, below the ground, vegetables, and the dirty dozen. As to what produce to eat organic or not, there are some general guidelines. If it grows below the ground, you should buy it organic because foods that grow below the ground absorb more toxins. Common foods that grow below the ground are potatoes, carrots, beets, parsnips, rutabagas, and radishes. If it has an outer protective peel or shell, it's less likely contaminated and okay to eat conventionally grown. Examples are like bananas, coconuts, avocados, pineapples, and citrus, unless you're eating the peels. And then she talks about the EWG.org where they put out the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 list. I have not looked. I know they just sent one out. But you can go to foodnews.org and you can download a printable wallet guide of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And you can carry that list in your purse or pocket.
What was that site again once more?
Food News, FOOD. NEWS.org.
I hope I didn't mess things up.
Yeah. So, because hers is, she has the, according to the 2009 list, so this is 3 years behind. We're 3 years ahead of that, and it changes, so it's good to check that, you know, from time to time. And to identify organic produce, I think most people know that, but there's a, she says, there's always those annoying little stickers on them. So, usually organic produce has little annoying little stickers. And the stickers are part of a international price lookup system used to make checkout and inventory control easier. If it does not have a sticker on it, just look for the sign with a 4 or a 5-digit PLU number. If it's conventionally grown, the number has 4 digits. Like 4060 stands for broccoli. If the item is organically grown, the number has 5 digits starting with a 9. So it would be 94060 for organic broccoli. So that's a good reminder in case you're not used to buying organic produce. And then there's a third option, a 5-digit number beginning with an 8. That would indicate that the produce you're holding has been genetically modified. How about that? If you're eating non-organically grown food, you're probably eating some genetically modified food even without knowing it. Genetically
so
modified
food. So is that a 5-digit on the one starting with an 8 also?
Yeah, a 5-digit number beginning with an 8. If it's a 9, it's organic. If it starts with a 9, it's 5 digits.
I didn't know about the 8 and 5 digits.
Well, I didn't either.
I don't even remember seeing that.
Has left the conference.
I don't remember seeing that either.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I've ever seen that, so now I'm going to look when I'm around.
You know, that May, what was the date on the publication?
I believe this is,
May have changed with
the
ruling.
She mentions the 09. She mentions the 09 letter. So this is, this one is at 09, copyright 2009.
I read that, so thank you.
So that probably has, that could have changed too, and maybe they don't have any of that since it's such a hot, GMOs are such a hot item right now.
Right.
Being being buried. Well, she wrote here, unfortunately, at this time, there's no way of knowing if the ingredients in packaged or canned foods have been genetically modified unless they're organic. It's been in our food supply for many years now. So anyway.
Consumer, I think it was Consumer Reports that just had a front page on it. The longest study on GMO is 20 years, and yes, it did kill the rats. It was scientifically proven right on the front cover of it. So I thought, well, that's good. They're really bringing the awareness of the public up.
That's in Consumer Reports?
I think it was a cover of Consumer Report. When I find it, get to it again. It's in my stack.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Well, who was the gal that did the...
anybody have a favorite recipe real quickly that you've made lately or something you've tried? I want to share with the group here.
Well, I need to say what I've been still trying. Don't want to get everybody's addiction up on whole grains too high, but that's been the bread. I just keep playing with the Italian version. We seem to like that a lot, throwing different things into it. What did I put in it the last time? Well, I've used molasses instead of the 1 tablespoon of sugar. And I found my pan just like yours, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to pay $7 more than Jeannie did when I got to the cash register, and I picked up one other item that amounted to $8. And I thought, I really didn't need this, but I want it. You know how you go. And so anyway, got the cash register, and she says, oh, and by the way, it's on sale for $21. So if anybody wants a pot or two to do their no-knead bread recipe in, you can get them at Big Lots. They had reds. Jeannie got reds. I got bright orange. I got the last pan again. I got the last pan the last time I was in there. But it didn't have a handle on it. This one had a handle that was in perfect condition. So I was feeling pretty glib about that, Jeannie.
Yeah, I know you were. Yay.
Well,
I love mine.
There's two that were exactly the same size, so I can divide the dough and put it in, and I could use it, you know, as a hostess gift when I'm going to dinner. We've got one this Friday, and I'll make a fresh batch and take a batch with me, or take one of the loaves with me, and I still have one for at home because, people seem to really like that and appreciate that because it's something they don't do is bake a heavy whole grain bread. And so Denny's even completely off of Dave's Killer Bread, so I thought that was, you know, kind of a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, good. Well, and I'm excited about that. It would be a good hostess gift, too, so that's a great idea. I'm going to do that on Tuesday next week. So.
And you think of the cost saving by doing it. I mean, it's a little of nothing. And the fact that I can not use wheat, I'm running into Denny's call over here. I don't have to use wheat. I can use spelt, which is a lot easier on him. And I know it's better for us, too, because the spelt does not have, you know, done to it what the wheat does to start with. So anyway, just another plus. So when you started doing it, it's, you know, no time at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say the spelt makes me itch, though, for some reason.
Oh, really?
When I went through the rotation diet years ago, that one affected me as bad as wheat did.
Well, then I'd try another grain. I mean, I've done it with rye, and I want to do it again with rye. I want to do it with part dark rye and some light rye because we really like rye. Also, I just haven't taken time to do it. We've kind of been stuck on this one blend. And also a breakfast bread. You can do a breakfast bread real easily with just a little bit of dried fruit. So it's versatile for anything. And I haven't gotten around to trying the other ones I copied out of your book, Jeannie, but I'll let you know when I do.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Thank you.
So these are all the no-knead whole grain bread, Char, that you're making the variations on?
Right, and I'm doing sourdough in all of mine. One, it's easier to digest. You don't have to Well, it rises nicer. I put a little tiny bit of yeast in it. I can probably do, well, I know I can do it without any yeast. It will just be heavier, more like what you had in the refrigerator from French Meadow Bakery that I like so well. So, you know, it's just playing around with it. And once you get the eyeball sight of what the amount of moisture needs to be in it, so it's not too much, so it flattens, and it's not too stiff, so it's too heavy, then you've got it made. And I just do it by sight. And the only way you can really do that is repeat it. For me, the only way I can do it is repeat that several days in a row, and then I can tell the difference between the breads when they're coming out and when I don't handle it at all. You don't use a floured board or anything. It just comes right out of the bowl into the pan after it's set, anywhere from 6 to 18 hours, depending on one ingredient, which is cider wine vinegar. Somebody went out and got the book, Mary Jane's Farm. I can't remember. It was like a couple to 3 months, probably 3 months back. That was what I found it in, and I was so excited about it. But I've got to see if I can't send it down. I can't remember whether I've got it scanned in there good or not. So I'll take a look in today. Sorry for the length, Jeannie.
That's okay. I would like to go to her site there and maybe look that up, too. I might be able to find it. I think it was January or something.
I think so. When I say
January or February.
Again, I'll lay it out. It's been buried.
All right. Well, we're up to our time here. Any last-minute comments? All right. Make it a great day. If you listened in on the call last night, there was some great information there. And the recorded one should be up pretty soon, the recording of that. So I heard about it. I didn't see it myself, so I'm looking forward to it, catching up for what's going on this month.
All right. Another exciting month. Thank you, Jeannie.
Mm-hmm. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
You too.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.